This 90-Day Fiancé Recap on Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think you may be depressed or feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp Online Counseling offers licensed professional therapists who are trained to listen and to help with so many issues, many of which are things that you may or may not see on a 90-Day Fiancé, things like relationship conflicts, family conflicts, and of course, all sorts of different anxiety, grief, depression, anger issues. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and then get matched with a counselor in under 48 hours. Easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages to communicate with your therapist at your convenience. Everything you share is confidential. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off their first month with the discount code RHAP. Get started today at betterhelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with 90 Day Fiancé Recap for Season 8, Episode number 3. And we are back here to talk about all of our existing couples. We've got a new couple, Andrew and Amira, that we met this week. And here to help me break it all down, Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. Here he is. Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. Honestly, I might not be as stylish as Uncle Bo. I don't think anyone could be.
This was said this week.
Uncle Bo, the stylish man ever.
Stylish man ever.
Those standards couldn't be higher. It's very hard to live up to. But we're going to attempt it here. I'm very excited. There's going to be a stylish podcast, audio-wise, style out the wazoo. I'm very excited to talk about episode 3 here with you today.
Okay, we'll talk about it all. Puya, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I had a wager with Liana early in the week about a package being delivered. The wager got called off, and got to tell you, the other party was very happy. Liana was very happy about that, but ultimately, it's been good. It's been a cool, calm, chill weekend for me. What about you on your side?
It's been okay. Nicole has been working a ton, so it's been a lot of like doing a podcast with you, podcast with your roommate, podcast with a few other people along the way, and it's a lot of like, hold on, let me just get my kids some more iPads before we jump on. So. Yeah, Nicole, we're working a lot of hours right now at the hospital and just trying to keep my kids from screaming and waking her up and just keeping the podcast coming and also trying to finish up any holiday shopping.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the podcast you give us. I've also had my fair share of holiday shopping. The last package I've sent is on its way delivered to my old roommate now, and I'm very keen for him to get it and find out what he thinks of it. So
okay. All right. Yeah. So, Puya, here we are. Week number 3 of 90 Day Fiancé. Not too many fireworks this week. No big blow-ups, but it feels like that there's a lot of trouble brewing on the horizon for a lot of these couples.
Yeah, I feel like the first two episodes, we focused a lot more on the hot mess of the couples. This episode, we kind of focus on the physical mess of the houses more so than the couples being a bit messy. It still had its fair share, little bumps across the way, but not really anything too explosive in episode 3 here.
Okay. All right. Of course, we are very excited for people to subscribe to the podcast to help more people find our podcast. Go to robinswebsite.com/90dayfiance. We appreciate if you leave us your feedback, ratings, and comments along the way. Puya, where do you want to start this week?
So I feel like we're looking at it. There's a couple couples coming back. We got one new couple in the mix.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide, because it was a bit of a slower one, I don't want to right away give everyone the Brandon goodness. We got to like savor that taste, make it the main course. Would you like to talk about the new couple in the mix here?
Yeah, let's talk Andrew and Amira. Let's talk about what's new. By the way, they were teasing us about, we have a hot new couple that is looking like that they're going to make a big debut into the Rumble next week of the Cougar, and that we're seeing a lot of teasing. They're coming into this next week. They're even getting like the lower third of next week. You're going to want to see this. And I don't even know their names. Are they not returnees, right?
No, they're brand new. They're brand new into the mix. And I'm very excited about them. I need to meet. In my notes, I have her as the Cougar lady because I don't recall seeing her name. I'll definitely find her name while we're talking here. But no, they're going to be very exciting TV for me. I feel like, I don't know, they're being saved. I don't know if it's because they're going to make a big splash or because they're going to have a shorter story. Either way, this looks like the exact type of fun I want on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast program. So
yeah, it'll be good also to mix it up also, because I feel like that all five of the couples that we're going to talk tonight, because no Rebecca and Zed, they had the bye week this week. Mm-hmm. All five of these, American dude trying to bring in an international lady.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the samey, very similar reactions from all the couples too. So it wasn't like, it felt like we kind of kept getting the same thing over and over, just in different regions in the country. But ultimately, some of them had a little bit of interesting one-liners here or there, a little bit of interesting conversation. But I'm excited for the new blood to get injected into the mix here.
All right. Andrew and Amira. Now, have they appeared on any 90-day incarnations previously, Puya?
They are also brand new. They are also brand new into the mix here. First time we're meeting them. Amira hailing from France and Andrew hailing from his mom's living room as a daycare runner. Andrew.
Yeah. He got a big intro of that. Here's what's going on at daycare, where he comes in like a full, what would you say? Is it like a knight's regalia?
That's what I was. I would say not. I initially thought it was like a royalty thing, but then I thought, no, it doesn't. The crown doesn't look big enough. There's no robe. I feel like it's more of a knight type situation. I really thought that this was going to be, for a second, I was like, is this, are we back at Tariq's house and he's about to make some salad? Like, I don't know. He's like getting dressed up. There's weapons. And then it was like, no, it's the new guy. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So here he is, and really showing off what's going on at daycare. And that's Andrew, and he has a relationship with Amira. Amira is from France.
Yes, from a small city that's surrounded by vineyards in France.
Yeah. And just if anybody has not been keeping up with the episodes, here is a little bit about what Amira's interests are.
I like to talk to my friends, hang out with them, and I like to buy makeup and look at makeup news every day. That's my stuff.
So I like, she likes to do makeup and then also look at makeup news, Puya.
Yeah. So to me, I was thinking about, what is makeup news? Is there like a weekly or a newsletter? Now, I assume it's YouTube.
Okay, is what I'm assuming. YouTube. Okay. All right. So makeup news is not the same thing as fake news. Those are two different things. Because I see a lot of makeup news when I go on my timeline on Twitter.
I definitely also have to sift through a lot of makeup news to get the up news or make news, separate entities, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one more time. With
look at makeup news every day. That's my stuff.
Yeah. A little bit of a shout out to Palau James also. That this is my stuff. Makeup news,
makeup
everybody.
Stuff.
So, all right. They seem pretty normal overall. It seems like that their storyline is going to be overall not so much of like that either of them is a crazy person, but that they are going through, that theirs is like of a very much like a time and a place, Booyah. It seems like it's June and they have cut it close to where that their 90 days are almost up. They need to get her to fly to Mexico to quarantine for 14 days in Mexico, then cross the border into the U.S. so that they could get married in order to end up tying up this 90-day K-1 visa.
Yeah, this was wild, because I kind of see some parallels in my relationship, because when I left to move, The border shut the day after. I literally got in under the wire. Our initial plans were I was going to move 2 weeks after I did. Liana was going to drive up, pick me up, and we're going to take all my stuff back with me here. And then when everything started happening, there was rumblings of the rumor mill of like, okay, the board's going to shut down. We got a plane ticket. I packed two suitcases and I left. Had it been shut, I feel like I would have been in the situation that loophole Andrew is, where Andrew's like, okay, I got to figure out what to do next, because then the reality is if your visa expires, you have to start from stage one. There's no like, oh, there's this pandemic, so we're going to like, you know, foot you the rest of the month later when the borders open. It would have been done. So it's very interesting to me because he also talks about having gone on a forum where other couples are doing that. That is very much a thing. VisaJourney.com is somewhere a lot of these couples go. We had stuff there where like you can talk to other couples, people on similar timelines. You can see, okay, so this person got their interview scheduled at this time. It's kind of a way to see it. So I don't doubt that what he's heard is true of like some a couple has done that. But also Amira does talk about how it depends on the airport person. It really does. Your entry into the country 1000% is at the hands of the person who addresses you at the border and is going to like stamp you the entry. It really depends person to person. So it's
yeah,
nerve-wracking is what I'm trying to say.
It seems interesting that so I guess that the flights were shut down at that point in time. I guess that's what happened in March. So their plan is that he's going to go to Mexico. She's going to fly to Mexico. Then they're going to quarantine for 14 days and then drive into the U.S. And I guess that she's not going to have that same issue there driving to the border.
Right, because the whole thing is that the EU, the borders were shut down to the EU specifically. Because like, remember, Italy was one of the first ones to really get hit, and then it like spread. So I think what their logic is, well, technically, yes, I came from the EU, but not directly. So the stopover at Mexico with the quarantine, also like now if we hit negative, then you know we should be good. There's no reason for you to deny us. Obviously, you'd still have to kind of explain your loophole. But, well, it's been 2 weeks that I've not been in Europe, so can I still come in? They might still be like, no, that's we said no EU, so I think that doesn't count for you.
So I feel like I have a lot of production questions about how this is all going to work. Like, is the production is on board with this plan, or are they sort of like, I don't know. Like, it sounds crazy to us, but like either way, it'll be good TV.
I honestly think they let them. They let them do what they want to do. I always think about, are these who gets assigned which camera, like which couple, right? Yeah. It's like if you get assigned the normal couple that's just home, you're like, okay, bet this is my payroll. But then if you're assigned where you have to go to Mexico and then you have to go to the States, it's a little bit of a thing. I think that this is definitely the couple's decision. I think that Andrew, by the sounds of it, is very much pushing for this. I think this is 1000% spearheaded by Andrew.
Okay. So that's Andrew and Amira. We're going to see Andrew talk to sister Connie and Puya. Connie is pissed about one thing. Andrew is going to miss her baby shower.
Not the baby shower.
You
the
know,
audacity.
Yes, traditionally, what a big role the mother of the baby's brother plays at the baby shower.
So, Rob, I got to ask you this question.
Please.
As someone who's not attended a baby shower, this is very much new to me. If I end up attending one, I would have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. How is this like on the same level of like a bachelor party or like is this like a big family commitment or is this kind of like like it's a new way to celebrate kind of thing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that every family might be different on the baby shower. I think we get into sort of like a lot of things have changed over the years. I think that traditionally the baby shower was something that only women went to. I think it was unheard of that that any men were at the baby shower. Like I used to end up going to being at a lot of them because when I used to do catering at the catering hall, it was very boring that you have a lot of women there, play very boring games like baby bingo, all sorts of like nobody likes it. The women that are there, they don't like it, and it's terrible for everybody. It's super boring. You know, at least like if you went to like a bridal shower luncheon, it's like, ooh, okay, well, maybe, you know, there might be something exciting might happen. Like somebody gave the bride lingerie. And that would be like as exciting as the bridal shower luncheon gets. Like, ooh, like everybody. But you don't even get that with a baby shower. It's like, oh, a bib. Oh, everybody has to act excited. So that's the traditional baby shower. I do think that now that it opens up, I think that people realize it stinks. It's a boring thing. I think that more men are invited to the baby shower now. Maybe you have a barbecue or something like that. Nicole had a baby shower. You know, I think that I think it's also customary that the baby daddy, if he's in the picture, he shows up. And helps carry out all the boxes at the end of this thing. But, you know, really, to Connie, like, take it easy on the baby. Andrew's going to miss the baby shower. Who cares?
It's like, relax. I feel like it's very interesting. Both Connie and his mom don't really understand how much they're in a position of literally, we might not be together if we don't get this plan going. So like, it's a once in a lifetime. It's like I love that he has to say a couple times, like, listen, I don't want to go travel during the pandemic. I don't want to do it. I have no choice. So I'm a little bit like, Connie, what are you doing? Also, Connie, did you have like a gender reveal party initially? And this is the second party. Maybe Andrew was like,
don't
I can
do
take
two
this
parties, people. Take it easy. One party.
One part. Also, yeah, Connie, how about you don't have a party during the pandemic? You're mad at him traveling. You're having a party. Is that,
you know,
what's that, huh?
Not a bit, not bad. Also,
we should have been there as the spin team to help out Andrew, because he definitely did not bring that up.
He did not. Also, I get the sense that Connie and mom don't love Amira. That they, I think they feel like, here's what I've learned from 90 Day Fiance, which sort of like reinforces something else that I've known from life. Every parent thinks their kid is perfect, that there's nobody that's good enough for their kid, and very much like, oh, and the kid also reinforces this of like, yeah, dad, it's not me, it's my partner, or mom, no, it's not me. The kid tries to act like the angel. Parent thinks the kid is perfect. Nobody's good enough. And I think that both Connie and mom think Andrew could do better than Amira.
I agree. And I think Hamdi, Amira's dad, also shares the same sentiment as they do. So this whole family is like, no, that
nobody
family's
wants
no,
this.
No, no one wants this except for the two of them. I do think that when we look at it, it's like, well, Andrew proposed within 3 days of seeing her in person, right? They have this big Vegas trip. He organizes everything. She comes through. He proposes, she says yes. So then he goes back home and his mom's like, she fooled him with her European like allure. And she like, fooled my beloved son into doing this. And on the other hand, like, this American stealing my daughter, I don't love it. So like, everyone's blaming each other, pointing the fingers at each other. And it's a bit of a mess. But it is a very much 90 day thing, Rob. There's no 90 day. You're not on the show if the parents don't disapprove. I feel like that's a requirement. It has to be.
Yeah. They know what's up. And we're going to see, I think a big part of this is that Amira does not want kids. I think that Andrew, who I believe runs the day camp with mom, I think that everybody's like, I'm sure he's like, oh, you are going to be the best dad, Andrew. And to find out Amira is not interested in starting a family, this is, I think, the deal breaker for everybody.
Yeah, and I think that it's because of how much Andrew has talked about wanting to be a father or wanting to raise a family, that now that he seemingly is like, he's willing to not have one to be with her. And they're like, hold up, you're really going to say no to this is something we know you've wanted. Now you're changing it. And it sounds like she was like not sure about it. And more recently, she said she's out on the idea. So I think that part of Andrew's like, well, I can change her mind potentially. But this is definitely a thing that both Connie and the mom are going to, I think, end up anchoring all their thoughts on, like, well, you wanted kids and you can't have kids like this, so why are you doing it?
Amira is also going to have a meeting with dad, and I feel like that Amira really throws Andrew under the bus to dad.
Yeah, this is 100% Andrew's plan. He's making me do this. He's telling me that if I don't go, there's no love there. I was like, Amira, like, it takes two to tango. Mm-hmm. You are the one getting in the plane. No one's forcing you. Like, you could just not show up. Like, I'm not going.
Yeah, she says, well, you know, he gives me money, so I have to do things that he says.
Like, that's how it works, Amira? Is that how it works? Oh, no.
Yeah. And then dad's just like, see, this is why I don't like him. I don't like this guy. I don't like this one bit. She's like, yeah, but he's making me, so I have to.
Yeah. From the sounds of it, he's made her cry, which is what the dad's biggest. Like, don't let a father see his daughter's tears because you are now the enemy, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know what the story is there exactly.
Move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out more of that backstory.
This must be a lucrative daycare if he's living on his own and then also sending money over to Amira. It must be decent bread at the
plenty
daycare.
Of money for Andrew.
Yeah, look at that. Regular old Keith.
Look at this guy. Yeah, he's buying that blue beret for the baby because he's trying to get everybody on board. But yeah, I was surprised that, I don't know. He's a small business owner.
Look at him. All out of the living room of his mother. And I couldn't overhead. Decide if, do you think he pays rent or do you think no? You think it's, he's just, do you think the mom is a shareholder here kind of thing?
Interesting. You think it's the mom's house and then he just runs the daycare?
Right. Like it's, mom's like, you can do all this, but I get a cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's got to be the arrangement. Otherwise it's, yeah, you can just do it here. It's fine. I feel
Does Andrew live with mom?
That wasn't established. I gotta assume not. Because again, if he's sending money over to Amira, then and it's his money, then I feel like he should be living apart. But I don't know why. Based on the hats we saw that he has and the balloons, I feel like his personality screams, "We're still chilling with mom." But I don't know. I don't have a definitive answer here.
Puya, what were Andrew and Amira drinking? I'm sorry. What was Amira and Dad drinking?
I couldn't tell.
Is it orange juice?
Would it be orange juice? Could it be like a mimosa?
Perhaps. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I couldn't tell because it was in the middle of June, but they were just hanging out, masks off, chilling in the middle of the day. So I couldn't decide if it was a beverage filled. I mean, they live in a place surrounded by vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Intriguing though. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see where it goes with Andrew and Amira. I think that really with them, I think that the adventure is going to be the story as opposed to like that they're almost like a smaller as opposed to a series. I feel like that they are like a feature that is being broken up into sort of like, okay, this is going to be the 90-minute trip to Mexico and back.
Yeah, I'm very, very concerned because in the early season, when we got the like overarching what to expect, I believe they're the ones that are going to have the detention center storyline. Yeah. I don't know if because like 90 Day is famous for just editing, tricking us and making it seem like something's a bad deal and then nothing happens. So it could be like that. But I know that they're going to have something there. So 1000% their entire story is going to be them going from Mexico to the States. I think that we'll stop over in Mexico, see a little bit of the quarantine storyline with them and like how they deal with each other. But I gotta imagine them trying to cross the border is the biggest part of their story.
All right. Let's talk about another couple. Let's mix it up even more. How about Mike and Natalie?
Let's do
Mike
it.
And Natalie
I'm very
got,
okay.
Yeah, got a little bit of the short shrift last week. Let's do some Mike and Natalie. We saw them last week. They got the airport pickup. Mike went to go pick up Natalie from the airport, went to the fancy hotel in Seattle. This week, time for Natalie to meet Uncle Bo.
Oh, yeah. This is the crossover we needed,
yeah.
I feel like. This guy, it's got to save the episode for me a little bit.
Yeah. First up, we hear Mike and Natalie, Natalie doesn't want to leave the hotel room. She liked it so much. That's going to be the high point for Natalie, the being in the hotel room. She talks about their relationship. Lots of ups and downs, except in one area, Puya. She says that they only have ups in the sexual relationship. Look at you, Mike.
Good job, Mike. Well done.
Good job.
They
good
were
job
definitely
by you, Mikey. Yeah.
Definitely sleepless in Seattle on that one.
Yes.
I'll tell you that
well, good job by you, Puya. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yes. All right. So still no ring for Natalie. This has bothered her. I think she wanted to be here's non-purple flowers. Also, here is your ring back. Like, they did not even get to his house yet.
No, he went all out. Like, he said at the beginning, I went all out for Natalie. Like, I got us this nice place. But it sounds like all she's wanted from the get-go is the ring back so that they can reset. And I feel like mentally, until she gets the ring back, I don't think she thinks they've reset. So she doesn't feel comfortable without that ring.
Yeah, she wants the ring back to the point where there is a waiter that comes by at one point where the waiter is like, oh, how are you guys doing? And like, oh, well, you know, she just recently came here. Like, oh, where are you from? Oh, you're engaged. She's like, yeah, but I don't have my ring.
I love that she's like, yeah, I feel like it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Like people like, oh, this is a fiance. Like I came in on a visa and they'll look at my fingers looking for a ring. But I'm like, I feel like you're putting more attention on it, Natalie. I feel like you're more like it's more something that's more visible in your head than you think it is. But also I did enjoy the weird conversation with the waiter. It was the right level of awkward for me.
Yeah, that was great. So, all right. So Uncle Bo is going to come by. And we talked a lot about the backstory of Uncle Bo. I don't think we need to revisit that.
We're good.
Yeah. And so Uncle Bo comes through and we hear this from Natalie.
Uncle Bo, the stylish man ever.
Yeah. Wow.
Who would have thought? Can you give the audience that have not watched the episode a verbal description of Uncle Bo's getup?
What was he? He was almost wearing like some sort of like a, what would you call that? Sort of like an airbrushed, like American flag t-shirt. Would you say fair to say?
Very fair to say. I really got worried because when Uncle Bo pulled up, I was like, Uncle Bo looking like he's not living somewhere. Like he's looking a little homeless to me. So I was worried because I was like, Natalie's about to feel guilty, but Natalie's like, look at you, Uncle Bo, cleaning up all nice. I was like, Natalie, what have you been drinking? Because she asked what he was drinking. And she said water.
Ever. Yeah. Also, my son Dominic and Uncle Bo have the same teeth right now. So we've got that going for us here at my house.
I was going to say last week when you did your Uncle Bo impression, it kind of sounded like your Anthony impression. So I like that. There's more there.
Dentally, he has more in common with Dominic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both missing like the same bunch of teeth in the front. But hopefully Dominic's are temporary. That's a temporary issue.
I would assume so. And I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Uncle Bo, they're in like some diner, Puya. Uncle Bo drinks hard liquor. Here at the, would you say this is it a diner?
Yeah, it looks like a diner to me. It doesn't look like there's much. I mean, they're getting stuffed clams potentially, so it might be like closer to like a between a diner and like a TGI Fridays, like somewhere in the middle.
Oh, and it's daytime.
Yes, it's full on daytime, and Uncle Bo sits down and immediately gets served a glass of whiskey because why not?
And they ask Uncle Bo, I believe it's Natalie, they ask him, how many of those are you going to have? And he says, I'll drink as many as they bring me.
It's unlimited. It was this unlimited, bottomless drinks, bottomless whiskey for Uncle Bo, pretty much. I love that when he was asked that too, Natalie, he asked Natalie back with the backhand, and Natalie's like, water. Like, mm-hmm. That's what you should be drinking. Yeah. Uncle Bo.
She says, I drink because I support Mike and he drinks. And Mike was like, hold on. I like, you know, that, you know, I drink like socially.
Yeah. No, Uncle Bo's like, he's a social drinker. He's not like Uncle Bo, which Uncle Bo referring to Uncle Bo in the third person is a little bit too much Uncle Bo for me. Like, you need to not. Also, I can't get over it, Rob. At every corner, I was like, but your cousin, Bo. Why are you telling us your Uncle Bo? I can't get over
it. I think
this.
Uncle Bo has a better ring to it than, you know, he's like Uncle Kiwi.
Yeah, no, I definitely think if he's going to go by Bo, Uncle in the front is better than cousin Bo is nothing. Let's not do that.
Yeah. So we ask a question from Natalie about are you still living there? Where do you live? This is a great response to the response from Natalie.
You don't live this house.
Yeah, I don't live up there no more. No.
No, I mean, good.
played it off real cool there, Natalie.
This exchange was worth everything. The look of relief on her face that, okay, Mike wasn't lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then, oh, snap. Now I got to play it off like I actually care about everything else he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, where exactly are you living? Tell me the location. Like, give me the... And I was like, Natalie, what do you expect him to say? Like, he's just like, I live in a house. Like, I don't know what you think he's going to say.
Mm-hmm. Woo! I mean, that's good. That's good. Natalie's scared of living in the country. Uncle Bo, though, that he says that, you know, she'll be fine. He says, she's a tough Cocoa Puff. That's a new one. I haven't heard that expression.
I've heard cuckoo four. Cuckoo I've never heard yeah. tough.
Cuckoo yeah. Cocoa Puffs, but tough Cocoa Puff.
Yeah.
There you go. But, you know, I think Uncle Bo ultimately comes off pretty well here. He ends up as like that he gives his blessing, you know, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, kind of unheard of for a 90-day fiancé relative to come in and first meeting. But, well, I approve of this whole situation.
I feel like Uncle Bo just had a lovely lunch with bottomless whiskey fronted by Mike. So, of course, he's going to give his blessing. There's no other way for him to go.
Okay.
I think Uncle Bo was just happy.
You bring up something that I wanted to ask you about. So, does 90-day fiancé foot the bill for anything that goes on the show, because I wasn't thinking about that in terms of this lunch, but like Brandon and Julia go to a dinner at some point. Like, is there an expense account on the show? Because how much does the show need to be involved in, like, where they're going? Do they need to clear it with the restaurant beforehand? Of like, does Mike say, hey, I want to go get lunch, and the show like calls around? It's like, okay, this is a place that'll let us film. Do you know any of that?
I really don't. And also because it's hard, because I feel like if they do, it's probably on a case by case, because there has been instances where couples have had, they're in a store and the husband or the wife is like making a big deal about the price tag of like, well, we're not going to get this. So I know that it's not like, okay, it's on us, go for it. Because otherwise I feel like they'd be doing a lot more with it. I did also have that thought though with Brandon and Julia where they ended up eating. I'm like, well, you're saying you don't have money. Why are you taking her out to dinner? But also, I was like, this could be something where either they're paying for it or he has his own like allowance that he's dipping into.
It's interesting in the case of Brandon and Julia that in the case of like, I on one hand, I'm like, okay, well, maybe the show is paying for it. It's also like, but if you're producing the show, don't you want Brandon and Julia at another dinner with mom and dad?
Yeah. Like, well, why wouldn't you? I feel like, you know, Brandon's condition, especially, he's pretty much on the ropes because they're paying him. I feel like if 90 paid him, they know we have as much control over Brandon now. He has to dance for us. Bring your parents over. Make them sit with you for food.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's a thing that is not the case.
All right. So going back to Mike and Natalie, Bo is going to be the best man at the wedding. Got to have that.
Mm-hmm. Of course. That's the only way to go with this wedding. And that's the only way I will watch this wedding is if Uncle Bo is there as the best man. He has to give a toast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah. Maybe he can borrow a Tariq's powder blue tuxedo.
Mm-hmm. It had to be powder blue. I'm so excited to talk about that tuxedo with you, Rob.
Okay. we'll get there. They drive back to Mike and Natalie's house. Not a good sign that Natalie says driving to Mike's house is like she feels like she's in a horror movie.
Yeah, no, I think that this is where Mike went terribly, terribly wrong. He gave her the most city living, best situation city living ever with the first night with Seattle and like the decked out Airbnb, I assume. Like, it was expensive. He talked about $400 or $500. It looked phenomenal. All the way to now, backwoods. We're talking in the country, especially she's a city type. In the dark, I think in the daytime, it would have been the choice.
Messing around all day with Uncle Bo and his unlimited whiskeys during the daylight hours when you could have driven back to your house in the day and not like when it's pitch black at nighttime on the windy road to Mike's house.
Yeah, I feel like one of the biggest appeals of like living in the countryside is the scenic route. The whole like watch all the look at nature. And I feel like especially it looked like there weren't many lights along the way. Right. So I was like, definitely cause for being terrified a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely like taken trips to places where it's kind of been on the countryside and like we've gone out during the day for like an event for dinner. And then on the drive back, I'm like, man, I really can't see where we are. So we're like, you know, Google Maps, take the wheel. Cause I don't know. I think we're going to get there. So I can see her being a little bit terrified. Again, it's just the big contrast between where she was and where she is in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. So she gets to the house. She's not loving it. She says it's only her and the trees. They go into the mudroom. She says it's dirty. Mike has a cat. She's more of a dog person. She wants tea. Mike doesn't think he has any. It's cold. She is not loving this.
There was not one thing he had to salvage it. Mm-hmm. If he had tea, maybe we're talking. Maybe she's like, you know what? It's cold, but I'll have a little bit of a hot tea. I'll be fine. But no, I feel like it was very cold. And when she asked why it was cold inside, he's like, it's just the way it is. Like, Mike, install a heater. I feel like you should have had a heater here. I don't understand why.
I bet he has heat. I think he's just kind of like a burly guy. I think he's probably got that. I bet he's got that thermostat. Puya, you do Fahrenheit yet?
I'm learning. Yeah. I'm learning. So if you tell me Fahrenheit, I'll be fine.
Yeah. I bet he's probably got that thermostat at like 66.
Yeah. No, I feel like we actually had this conversation in this house on Saturday. I woke up in the morning and Liana was already up and at it. And I was like, Liana, why is it cold here? Like, can we crank that heat up? She's like, but you come from Canada. You said it's not that cold outside. I'm like, outside? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'll handle it. But I shouldn't be feeling cold inside. And I requested, can we move it up to 82?
You wanted to move the thermostat to 82?
Yes. I was like, give it to 82 for like an hour and then I'll be fine. Sure enough, I was fine after that.
No, that's... That's too
What's
too
your
high.
Ideal?
Too high. I don't think you just put it to what you want it to be. Don't go up to 82.
I needed the quick adjustment because mm-hmm. I was in the bedroom and the door was closed, so I had none of the heat pretty much. It was very cold that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I come from the desert, Rob. I'm used to like high heat and then from Canada the low cold. I got both in me now.
They got both. Oh my god! I think if I walked downstairs and I saw that Nicole had the thermostat on 82, I think my head would explode.
I mean, I'll ask Liana for her honesty. I'm pretty sure she didn't put it up to 82. She must have like done like 75 and said he doesn't understand his Fahrenheit and Celsius yet. He'll realize later.
Yeah. This was in fairness, if I got the put the thermostat up to 82 request, I think I would go. I would go over to the box like beep 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 beep, and like it's at 73, and then we'll just leave it at that.
We'll deal. Yeah, but like I think Mike probably does not. I think Mike just had the heat to whatever he's used to. Like he lives here.
Mm-hmm.
He's used to this climate.
He's also not been at the house for a bunch of days. Like I think that
neither is Uncle Bo.
Yeah. So I think that you would probably like lower the heat at your house. You don't want the pipes to freeze, but it's also possible mm-hmm. that yeah, I've been gone for 48 hours. I dropped the thermostat, so I'm like not heating a empty house.
Right, like you're not gonna
small,
have the heat.
House.
Yeah, yeah. Which her saying the house was small was like, ooh, I don't love that because like he owns all this land, but I guess like the dwelling itself is not that big. But no, that's a great point. I didn't think about the fact that they were traveling, so why would he have the heat up? It probably will take a little bit to heat up. We'll find that out. I don't think Natalie's gonna let it go. She didn't let go of the color purple for the flowers. I don't think she's gonna let it go for the heat if the heat's not on.
Okay, so. You know she didn't love it, so. Yeah, the Mike and Natalie thing seems like it's going south. Seems like that we may have peaked at Seattle.
I think Seattle was great. And then I think after the Uncle Bo lunch, it's just been downhill and it's going to continue going down south for sure. Because by looking at the next time on, we're going to hear more about her not liking the living situation and then wanting to take a break. I don't know what that means. Like she just wants like a 5-minute timeout to walk away mm-hmm. from him. I'm not sure. But she's definitely not happy at all.
Yeah. All right. Did you want to talk about Tariq and his powder blue tuxedo yet?
You know what? Let's wait a little longer. Let's go over to the more like, nah, let's go to the Jovi and Yara, right, if we may.
Yeah, Yara, this Yara and Jovi storyline.
Yeah.
And this is all about, we have a sleepover at Jovi's mom's house in the swamp.
Mm-hmm. So my first thing is she's trying to figure out what to wear, right? She's like, oh, can I wear this stylish? And he's like, no, we're kind of going to, you know, crappy places.
Going to the bayou.
Why would you wear something? Yeah, just wear a shirt, jeans, and a jacket. And I was like, in my head, I thought, well, you're going to be in the house. I don't see why she can't just be styled. Like, you're not going to take her, like, mud wrestling or anything. Like, it's not like she needs to be dressed for that occasion. So that was a little bit of, like, Jovi oversight again. But Jovi does seem like he likes the simpler things in life. So I guess it's kind of Jovi being Jovi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the sense that maybe he didn't want to have the thing where then they get to his mom's house and she's like way overdressed and it's just another thing for mom to talk about.
Right. I mean, that's very possible if his mom,
like,
is not
when
into
in Rome,
that. And just...
You want to be in the right attire to go to mom's house. Don't be like making this more awkward by being way overdressed.
Right. Like, you want to hit the heavy default medium of the graph there.
Yeah.
On clothing.
Yeah, she does not want to go. Jovi's going to pack a bag for her.
Yeah. It's like, well, you might. So I'm just going to pack it. And then what did he say? A couple of socks, underwear. I was like, a couple of socks? Like, I don't know. Like, you're wearing socks there, right? Let's say that you're the type of person that's going to sleep with socks on. That's another pair of socks. But do you really need 3 socks for 24 hours? I don't know about that.
Seems like it's very important to Jovi and mom that people sleep over at the house. That, you got to sleep over at mom's house. You can't just, like, go there. You have to sleep there. It's what we do in the bayou. I don't need to be sleeping at anybody's house.
Yeah, I feel like, personally, unless it's someone I'm very close with, I'm probably not going to take them up on that because... I feel like, because, like, the whole thing is some people, you know, they're big hosters, right? They take it as an honor to, like, let me host you. I love it. It's like a good, it's a sign of that you like me, you trust me, whatever. But I feel like more often than not, from my perspective, I don't want to put someone else up and make them feel uncomfortable. I'm like, if I can afford to not stay at yours, I will take that up because I don't want to put you in, like, problems. Because as laid back as I am, I don't know what's going on in the head of the hostie, right? Of like, oh, we got to make sure Pia's fine. Like, I could sleep on the floor. I'm okay. Trust me. But I feel like they're going to try and do more. I don't want them to do more. So it's a very much, I'm Team Yara on this. I feel like if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to.
Yeah. Mom is cooking fricasse.
Yeah, I wrote fricasse as well. And apparently she nailed it. She said it better than most people would.
Yeah.
So.
How about this?
Looks like a stew.
Yeah, this argument later where, and mom said, well, it doesn't look good now, but you know, you'll see later. We find out from Yara later on in the episode, it was not actually good.
Mm-mm. She faked it well because I thought she liked it at the dinner table. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Turns out she did not like it. It was not, what was it? Not enough flavoring?
She said there was no flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at this now.
Yeah.
It is a dish of stewed or fried pieces of meat served in a thick white sauce. Looked brown sauce to me.
It did not look
from
good.
Where we were looking at it. No,
I don't like the pictures. You know, I'm not a big food guy, but yeah, you're not tempting me with your fricasse, mom, and sleepover.
No, fricasse and sleepover sounds like the mixtape for a horrible rapper. Don't listen to that rapper. Pass on that rapper.
So I thought that the reason for the sleepover, why you have to sleep at mom's house, is because, like Jovi, that you consume many alcoholic beverages at mom's house. That's what you do in the bayou. You have your fricasse and then your free for all afterwards of, you know, unlimited whatever hurricanes at mom's house.
Uncle Bo style.
Uncle
that's
Bo
the way you got to do
it.
Yeah.
As many as they bring you during the meal.
Yeah, because it sounds like by the end of the night, she was like, I'm having fun. I've got plenty of wine in me, and I think I needed that to have fun. So, yeah, that checks out. Unless they were going to Uber out of the bayou, there was no way they were going to get home.
Okay, but there is some tension here, and the tension seems like it has to do with, okay, when is the wedding going to be? And so it seems like there's a couple of options on the table. I don't really understand what Yara is in favor of. It seems like that mom wants a wedding in the bayou. That is a non-starter for Yara. Jovi wants to just go to Vegas because party guy Jovi.
drink tickets.
Yeah. And then Yara seems to want a third thing that includes her parents, but I do not know what that third thing is.
Yeah. So I feel like with 90 day couples, there's two types. There's either you've planned the wedding ahead of you arriving to the US and you already know when it is, what you're doing, or you're like, we'll get there and we'll sort it out. Let's get there first. And it sounds like that's where they're at. I think her biggest thing is she has two criteria. She wants a wedding with her family. Otherwise, she doesn't want a one-sided wedding where it's just his family. And she doesn't want the wedding in the Bayou country. She doesn't want, she said, she called it a trailer park wedding. She just doesn't want it to be in this region. So she said, even if my family could come here, I don't want that.
But how are they doing a wedding with her parents? Does she want to go back to the Ukraine and get married?
Right. So like we've had couples in the past, or we had one in the last season of Happily Ever After where they got married in the States and then they flew back in the next season we saw them on. They flew back to Moldova with her family and they had a wedding for his family and her family joint in Moldova. Mm-hmm. So there are some families that do the two weddings. One of my engineering roommates, one of the old engineer guys, him and his girlfriend of 8 years, she was from Brazil, got married. We went to the wedding in Ottawa, and then they went to Brazil for the wedding in Brazil. And the families were in both, but it was for all like the extended family and stuff. So I've definitely, it's not unheard of to have two weddings, but it sounds like she doesn't want two weddings if it means one of them's at the Bayou. That's not happening.
But it didn't even sound like she's into the wedding in Vegas.
No, I think 100% her biggest thing is that she wants her family there, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want it without them. And she does it because she feels like it's unfair if it's just one-sided. She doesn't want
that. Yeah. She also does not like where mom lives. Feels like it's a ghost town.
Yeah. Again, this is another family, another couple this week where they do not like the countryside, the far away from society type stuff. She talked about how it's like, it feels like a ghost town. So no, this is definitely not something that she's into.
This is another couple like Mike and Natalie, seemingly nothing in common here. They have not had one moment of like, I'm so happy you're here. I love you. Anything. No, they seem very unhappy.
Yeah, they peaked when she said the best thing about him was his body, mm-hmm. former, not current.
Yeah,
so,
past tense. That's the nicest thing that she said about him. And this seems like that this is, I don't know, why are they doing this?
Who knows? Who knows? Because honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, it sounds like a lot of it is maybe a rude awakening now that they're living together. It's like, oh, he doesn't want to do anything but chill. Because like that. Having that person as a partner is great before you live with them, before you're like mm-hmm. in it for the long haul of like, oh, he's super chill and he wants to have bevs and walk around the city with me. I love that.
But
not forever.
But, you know, the first day you move in together, that is still the honeymoon. Okay. If this isn't working on day one, like there's very little chance that this is getting better.
I loved the shadiness of them giving us the lower Chiron. We said like 88 days to wed. I was like, it's only been 2 days and already you don't want to go to the mom's house. You don't want to get married. No. This is definitely looking like they're going to be going down south, further south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jovi is leaving also at some point very soon.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of the we have 90 days to get married, but I'm going to dip in the middle of it to go do stuff. Mm-hmm. I understand like work is work, but also I feel like this is prime time for you two to be ironing stuff out. And I feel like mm-hmm. you leaving isn't going to help, especially like I have some sympathy for Yara. It's a new, like she said, like it's all new to me. Like I wish he was here at least a little longer to show me the ropes before he leaves. But also, you know what? Maybe it will be therapeutic for Yara because she can take that apartment down and set it up the exact way she wants it while he's gone.
Yeah. Do we know what Jovi's occupation is?
Yes. Didn't we learn that he was on, like, it was a lot of stuff with boats. Like, he's offshore for a while, and then he comes back, mm-hmm. and that's how he traveled.
Okay.
So it's got to be, it was like a, why am I think of like a fish technician? Something of that sort. That's not a thing, but yeah.
Like, he works on the fish or works on the boat?
He works on the boat. I feel like it's some kind of fish industry thing. Let me quickly open up my notes from that episode because I have them written out there.
That's why he got scuba equipment to go and do the proposal.
Yeah. Oh, he's an underwater technician.
Ah, okay. That explains the scuba proposal a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. So, and like he worked on there, and then he had like 3 weeks off, and that he would use that to go to whatever countries that were nearby and travel.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what's going on with Jovi and Yara. That so far, the least amount of returns, I would say, from any of our couples.
Absolutely. It's kind of baffling that they were one of the starters. I feel like given their storyline, they should be shoved in the middle of like,
maybe it's going to get big. Maybe they're headed towards like a breakup or something.
I mean, it's very possible given next week, they're going to be disagreeing on furniture mm-hmm. and items.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then there's going to be storming out of the, oh, I'm excited
yeah,
for that.
Yeah. She wants a, like a shag rug, like a bearskin rug that she, and he's like, I'm not having that in my apartment. She's like, my apartment.
Yeah, for someone who's laid back and doesn't care about the stuff in his house, Joey seems to care about the stuff in his house. Who would have thought?
Yeah, although that carpet that they're looking at seems like a terrible fit for Jovi, who seems like a bit of a spiller.
Yeah, if he spills anything on that shag rug, yeah. they got to throw it out.
You don't want Jovi in a white shag carpet.
I feel like he's hardwood floors and a wet Swiffer guy. Those are the two things
linoleum he needs. Kind of guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to go to Tariq and Hazel?
Let's suit up in the power of blue right now.
Let's stop down here for a second, because if we're going to be talking about Tariq, let me go ahead and bring in our sponsor for this episode of the 90 Day Fiancé Recap. Those are our friends over at Truff, makers of luxury hot sauce, hella hot sauce. Little ghost pepper hot enough to burn your mouth off. Yeah, that's right. Tariq knows all about it. Truff, T-R-U-F-F, as in fantastic, a luxury hot sauce that makes every meal five stars. Puya, are you a hot sauce guy?
Absolutely. I have at least 6 bottles of hot sauce here.
Oh, look at this
And
thing.
Liana doesn't like them, so it's all me. It's all me, and I love
it. It's all you. Well, you haven't lived until you've had white truffle infused hot sauce from Truff, crafted with a signature blend of red chili, black truffle, organic agave nectar, and savory spices. Each bottle ships pristinely packaged and topped. This looks like something that you would get from the Apple store, this Truff hot sauce, topped with the Truff's eye-catching black diamond-shaped lid, hinting at the truffle-infused treasure inside. It's more than hot sauce. It's a showstopper, like Brandon and Julia. It's like nothing you've ever tried before. Look at this. You want to gift this to somebody? This comes in incredible packaging. You've never seen hot sauce like this. A symphony of flavors, bright chili kick, rich undercurrent of savory truffle, balanced with a dash of sweetness from agave nectar. Looking for an excellent holiday gift? Here are 3. Truff's flagship hot sauce, Truff Hotter hot sauce, and premium white Truff hot sauce. So hot enough to burn your mouth off. Embodying the essence of the luxurious and fragrant white truffle. There's a Truff variety pack as well. It's been featured on the Today Show, Good Morning America, Rachel Ray, Food Network, Food and Wine, and now Rob Has a Podcast. It's been on Oprah's Favorite Things list for 2 years in a row. Over 10,000 five-star reviews and over 2 billion followers worth of shout-outs on social media. Billion with a B. See for yourself why Truff is the number one best-selling hot sauce on Amazon and Whole Foods nationwide. You can also see why Truff is the biggest hot sauce on Instagram and TikTok, too. Get 10% off site-wide and use promo code RHAP at truff.com. That's 10% off everything, including White Truff VIP box and the Truff Variety Pack just in time for the holidays. Just shop at truff.com. That's T-R-U-F-F, as in fantastic.com. Use promo code RHAP. Okay. Booyah. Let's talk about what's going on with Tariq and Hazel.
I cannot wait. Because the hot sauce is spilling over for these two. Wow. She's finally arrived, Rob.
She's finally arrived. Yeah. Not a lot going on here in this episode. A lot of like setup here of, okay, we're going to get ready to get Hazel.
Yeah, it was mostly the biggest focus was him getting his attire ready and meeting up with his friend, best friend, Angela. Mm-hmm. That was the bigger focus to me. Than
not
him getting to the airport.
Yeah, best friend Angela.
Yeah, so he comes through, and her favorite color is powder blue. So, Rob, think, what is this for a strategy? Would you be willing to wear whatever Nicole's favorite color is as a suit? And do you think she would understand why you've done it?
I don't know if she would understand. You know, I kind of feel like that I thought he had a better jacket earlier on. I thought that Angela thought the same thing. And then he went with a lighter shade of blue. But then I thought, and again, I'm no fashion mogul, Puya, but I feel like it was a mistake to go with the powder blue jacket on powder blue shirt also.
Yeah, I'm no Uncle Bo either, so mm-hmm. I don't think we can speak on this and give it the justice it deserves. However, I think that the combination of the same on top of each other kind of like faded it out for me a little bit. It was a little too much. I think I love the 70s corny comment that mm-hmm. Angela gave. It was apt. I'm all for it. If he had accented himself with a little bit of powder blue, I think it would have gone a longer way than I'm literally going to pull up here looking like a Pokemon. Like I'm full on looking like Wobbuffet here. Like I feel like that was a mistake on your part.
Yeah.
But
like, yo, I heard you like powder blue, dog.
Yeah. Full exhibit. So we put powder blue shirt on your powder blue suit with your powder blue flowers. Like, come on. Enough. Powder blue bow tie. Like, no. It's too much.
So, all right. I was blown away. My favorite part of this whole thing was flashback. And I'm a little upset with you, Puya, for not telling me about this, of that in the flashback to what was going on in the 90 days. Was this 90 days the other way?
So, yeah. So
the
Tariq
origin
and Hazel
story
featured,
of Tariq and Hazel.
Yeah. It was 90 Day Fiancé the other way season 2.
Okay. All right. So that there was a whole storyline about how there's a brother disapproving Dean. Disapproving Dean went to the Philippines with Tariq because that he did not approve. I think there might have been a little clip of this, but that the punchline to this story was not known by myself until I watched this, that disapproving Dean the hater, he felt like that this is Hazel is no good for Tariq. That Tariq then finds out that he met a woman from the Philippines on WhatsApp. I don't even know how you meet strangers on WhatsApp. I didn't know that was a feature.
Yeah, it was wild.
I've met Akiva on WhatsApp. I think that's about as far as I've gotten on WhatsApp. And not only that, Dean, is now in a relationship with a woman from the Philippines that he met on WhatsApp. And there was a battle between Dean and Tariq over FaceTime, where Tariq was going to call out his brother.
Dean met some girl on WhatsApp, moved with her to the Philippines. You rolled my ass about this.
My mode of operation is spontaneous.
Puya, what's your mode of operations?
It's not spontaneous is close, but like not that spontaneous. Like my spontaneous is, ooh, I might mess around and order takeout today. Not, I'm about to move to another continent today just cause. Like that's not a thing I'm gonna do. But Dean is not.
Is spontaneous.
He's on another
level.
You know
me. That's so Dean.
Dean is wild, Rob. So here's the truth, right? I wish I knew about this earlier to tell you. So that footage we saw with the FaceTime.
Yes.
That's not from the other way. This is a more recent thing that I haven't seen myself. So I'm
was
not sure where.
Was this in a 90 Day Fiancé show?
It's got up. So Dean and Tariq started becoming more and more prominent on Pillow Talk, which is 90 Day Fiancé's version of the couples, like other old couples watching new couples, like the new seasons. And like, that's an actual show they roll out. So the two of them giving commentary became a big part of Pillow Talk, which was great. But this is recent. This like this disconnect with them is like from the last year and a half. And they've not been on another show unless it's the quarantine edition that's online only that I have not seen. So I was very pleased to see this footage. I loved it. But I told you, the one thing I did tell you was that I wish we'd see Dean, because I know Dean's electric. And wow, did he give you that in one piece, Rob.
My mode of operations is spontaneous is one of my favorite quotes of the year.
it's not going to get topped. I feel like we're almost at the end of the year here. It's looking good.
Yeah. And in fairness, what could you say back to that? You know, that it's like, Rob, why did you do this? Like, look. My mode of operations is spontaneous, okay? I'm just going to do things. From me? Don't at me.
There's zero argument there. You're not going to win that argument if you try to open it. But Tariq is very justified in being big mad, because having watched him butt heads with Dean, Dean literally pulled out a bar and made a fool of Hazel in front of Tariq.
He was so rude.
And like, so much crap was given to him. So for Dean to then roll out and do the same thing, yeah, I can see why he's upset.
And he moved to the Philippines. Yeah. He didn't just...
He went a step further.
Yeah. So yeah. He's doing it. Okay. Anyway, so Tariq is also has something else on his mind. He needs to still tell Hazel that he checked in with Minty. Puya, tell me if... am I a bad guy here for asking the question, like, does he have to tell Hazel this? Is Hazel going to find out about this?
I think so. I think in my head, I was like, why is this a big deal? Obviously, there's a pandemic. If you check on anybody, I feel like that's fine. I think it's because it sounds like she has said strictly, this is a no-no person. You don't talk to this person again.
Yeah.
Now it's a bigger deal. So now he should disclose. But I think it's one of those things where it wasn't a big deal. The longer he's holding it, the bigger deal it's becoming.
Is it? One of those. I mean, I feel like it's a bigger deal that he told the production. That I think that was where he really went wrong. Because now it's like, well, I could tell her now or she'll watch the show and I'll be busted. Because, look, that of... Like, I might have a list of 100 things that the First Lady of Podcasting doesn't know, and she doesn't know she doesn't know them. But if I just come out and say on a podcast, hey, everybody, here's the list of things that she doesn't need to know and she won't find out about. But if she did know, she'd be annoyed. Then that's on me.
Yeah. If you set it up like that, then yeah, you're going to have to pay. But I feel like, ultimately, it's probably not that big a deal. So I also have a bunch of those, I believe. I think, Liana, maybe I don't. I'm just saying stuff. Don't look into this too much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
None of those things involve any other. Like, I'm lucky that one woman ever talked to me in my life, let alone that there's some other woman that I'm also talking to. These are all much more benign things than talking to Minty.
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. No. Tariq is a dummy. We are not like that. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like he's also, like, I think he wants to disclose it with her. I think it's also a bit of a mental block to him. So it's just a matter of when he does it. But I 100% think that it's going to get to a point where it's going to become a bigger deal. I already am worried, based on the way he talks, that he's going to botch the delivery on this and make it worse. So I'm excited for that scene to roll up on us. But yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. He brings back, he also has like, well, he does. Is this like a Johnny Drama that he like shouts out before he gets in the car? He's like, victory.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, Tariq watches Entourage. Okay. Checks out to me. He has the dress sense
is
of turtle.
Viking
so I feel
Quest
like
guy.
I don't know if he's a Viking Quest guy. It's possible. It's possible. He might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That. Do you feel like that? What was that, an Entourage shout out from Tariq?
Rob, where else have we seen anyone yell out victory like that? I mean, anything else? Like, yes, hell yeah. I feel like hell yeah would be in his repertoire, but he went with victory. There's a specific old man in Johnny Drama that says that only. So
okay.
I think it was a nod to his favorite show.
Yeah. So they're driving back and, you know, I think that I think Tariq is like really trying to impress Hazel that, you know, she came from a small, you know, very poor family in the Philippines, a lot of poverty there. And he's like, even though his house is average, then he feels like he's really impressing her with this house. I couldn't help but feel, though, that, like, I was watching, like, some movie where, like, an alien is on Earth and they're, like, trying to, taking, like, E.T. around the house. And it's like, oh, like, dishwasher. We put dishes in this. Like, oh, okay. All right.
Cool.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, given
like, I mean, she has an iPhone. Like, I don't know if you're like dazzling her with the technology in your home, Tariq.
Yeah, like she so when we met her, her family definitely is not well off at all. They do live in a very, very poor dwelling type situation. So this is definitely all like an upgrade for her. But she, her job was, she worked like promotions with a smartphone company. So I know that she's at least, you know, aware of that. So maybe she's not seen a dishwasher up close or like handled one, but I'm sure she's seen it. She knows what it does. Like,
yeah.
I liked her saying, I don't think this dishwasher is going to do what I would do. So I'm not going to trust it. I'm not going to.
She also knew enough to know, this house is a mess.
Yeah. I like Tariq saying, no, it's not. But then there was like a one-time use spoon on top of aluminum foil. And I was like, if there's a one-time use spoon out, that's a mess. I'm sorry. Like, it's not even like a utensil that you clean. You're not putting that in the dishwasher. I mean, yeah. I hope you're not.
So, look, I'm not the cleanest person ever. I have good days and I have bad days, Puya. I think I can be very open about that. I have no issue saying that. I wouldn't say that I'm a slob, but I wouldn't say that I am a very neat person. I'll let things pile up and then I'll clean everything all at once. I do like to think if I am on a nationally televised show and I am picking up my, you know, love of my life up from the airport and bringing her to our home for the first time, I do like to think that I would clean that day.
Yes, for appearances at the very least. I'll be honest. You've been honest. I'm a recovering slob. I used to be big slob. Many podcasts before I moved. Yeah, that area that you saw was clean because I'm smart. The rest of it was a bit of a mess. I kind of like lived in it, but I've definitely improved. I'm the same as you now. If I have a spot that piles up a little bit, I'll take care of it. It's done. But for the life of me, if you're going to be on TV, clean your house. If not for the fact that you're not going to clean it for the person you love, who you know is into the clean environment, if you're not going to do it for them, do it for the millions that are going to watch and mock you about it on a podcast later.
Clean up the house. Clean up the house if you could. You know, that's two of the people that we've seen in this episode. We saw with Natalie, said Mike, smaller house than I thought, and it's not clean. For Hazel, big house, also not clean.
Yeah, I like that. Tariq said, how clean does it need to get?
Yeah,
it's like, how about as clean as it needs to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bigger house than she's used to. I think that's been a little bit more of a, like, I could tell that she was nervous, right? Because it's like a new environment. It's bigger. She feels a little bit overwhelmed potentially, which, by the way, she said overwhelmed earlier and Tariq said he liked that word in a very like, ooh, I like that word. I was like, what does that mean?
I don't know. But I think that's like, I guess you could sort of say like, wow, I am blown away. I am overwhelmed. I don't feel like that's how she was saying it.
No, it didn't sound like that. So the way he was enjoying it, I was like, hey, whatever floats your boat, Tariq.
Puya, would you rather have a small house that's a mess or a big house that's a mess?
Ooh, I feel like personally, I would say big house just because then there's more of it. And if a place is too messy, I move to the other place. But maybe small house would push me to be cleaner. So maybe I would say small house. So I feel
think about it. Like the mess that's in the small house is going to be still much small, much easier to clean than a big house that's a mess. Big house's mess is going to take forever. Like it's almost like you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, well, the house is a mess, but the good news is it's a small house. We'll put an hour or two in, put on a podcast. We got this. Big house is a mess. You're never coming back from that.
If a big house is a mess, even at its cleanest, I feel like there's a decent chance that it's still messy in some degree. So I 100% think that the small one's best to recover from, especially like, again, like you said, one day, one pod, maybe four podcasts and spick and span ready to go.
The best I can do is like clean like the middle of rooms where I can just like get all of the stuff like to the walls.
Yeah, that is my favorite part of cleaning is the initial stage where you kind of start putting things away, moving them into another area, then cleaning that area. Then you're like, oh, no, but this all has to come back. Now it's going to get cluttered again. So I do like the process until I get to that clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Let's dive into our main course. Brandon and Juliet, even Brandon and Juliet was kind of a down week for them. Not too much going on here with Brandon and Julia as they explore Washington, D.C.
Yeah, this was a slower episode for them. I feel like it's cooled down a little. But even then, in this lineup, they're still the stars. And it's very evident to me. Because I have more notes on them, and I am more excited to talk on them,
yes.
Which is great.
Okay. So Brandon and Julia still in Washington, D.C. They wake up, and Brandon has brought her some tea that she likes, but it's also like, you have 3 minutes, because my mom is waiting, and we have to go see every single monument in Washington, D.C. Every statue, we have to be there by a certain time, or we'll miss it.
Mm-hmm. This is your favorite meal, which I was like, it looked like some kind of breakfast roll and tea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is her favorite. Cool. But then he did this thing. So he opened the drapes while she's in bed. I was like, don't do that. Don't wake her up like that. I feel like that's a mistake.
Look, that is, he's like really like pulling the emergency brake here because he's got to get her downstairs in 3 minutes. Mom would be mad.
Yeah, I like the idea of I'm going to let her sleep in because she needs it, but then I'm going to give her the panic of life by saying, you don't have 4 minutes. You have 3.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. And mom's got it all planned. We can't. Like, she was like, I want to stay here. He's like, nope, we can't do it. Mom's already planned this. And I mean, let's talk about this sightseeing, but my God, I feel like the only person that cared was the mom. Betty was excited. She had rehearsed lines the night before. She had looked at a slideshow. She knew everything, all the history. Julia did not care.
Tell me if this is a hot take. I hate sightseeing.
I'm not.
You walk around like, oh, low that thing. Oh, okay. Oh, that, you know, it's bigger than I thought it was going to be. Or it's smaller than I thought it was going to be. Well, that's that thing.
Yeah, there's some sites out there that I would love to see with the naked
like
eyes.
That's like where Forrest Gump ran to Jenny.
That,
like, didn't
iconic.
Aliens see, blow that thing up one time? Okay.
Like, how keen am I to want to do that, A, and then B, do it like the immediate next day after having traveled 30 hours? I feel like I'm good to just chill. We can do that at some other time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to see all of them. When they were midday and she was like, we still have to do these three
this
sites
and
then go
and
to this memorial.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we saw the monument. Can we, and the White House, can we leave now? Like, that's the sweet spot for me. I'd be okay with just seeing, like, give me, like, if I'm seeing sites, Rob, I'm okay with seeing like the main one. I don't need to see all the opening acts. Just give me the main event and I'll leave.
Or drive through. That's fine. I don't need to like go through every single monument in Washington. People can drag me for this, but look, that would be a very boring day.
I mean, I saw more of Ottawa when Liana visited me because I took her places than I had never gone to look at the different things that were available to me. Until Liana. So I'm very much the same. I'm fine. Like, my life's okay. Again, if I get an offer to go to see the pyramids in Egypt, like, I'm in. Taj Mahal. Like, give me the main ones. I'm down. Like, that makes sense to me.
I went to D.C. for Stephen Fishback's wedding 2 years ago. And in the taxi to the hotel, like, oh, yeah, they were washing my... I saw it. That's enough.
Good enough. You didn't have to touch it. You didn't have to take a photo of it. You were fine.
Yeah, I would take a tour of the White House if I could get offered that.
Yeah, that's not a bad
situation. That
would be different.
But look at the monuments. I'll pass. I'm good, Mom. Thanks. You know, if the choice was romantic time or monuments, I'm going to take the romantic time.
I don't think that's a hot take.
Yeah.
I feel like romantic time over monuments for sure. And then if we have to merge the two, I'll take the monuments without the tour guide mom. I feel like that is also fine. We goof around, we take some photos. Like, I feel like that's a good arrangement as well.
Julia says, "Okay, look, you have to talk to parent. You need to talk to parent, and that's it. Because look, either you talk to them, or then we have to move out. And either way, you know, then I'll go home." So this is very much like, all right, let's bring this to a head.
Yeah, it's very much she's ultimatuming him, which is honestly the right call because, and I like that she's doing it this early, right? I like that she's not waiting to see where it goes to like, oh, he'll, let's see if he does it. She's like, no, I'm going to push you because I need this to not be a thing. And like, it's, you can tell he doesn't want it to be a thing either. So it should be an easy solution, but it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Not to him, at least.
No, it's not easy. And so, all right, she wants him to talk to mom today. So Julia, for her part, she does a good job. She has to, she fakes that she's excited to see mom and dad every time she sees them.
That, you know. A plus on acting for sure with Julia.
She, you know, ramps the whole thing up every time. Like, oh my God. Ah! Like she's, you know, excited to see them, but you know, she knows what's really going on here.
Yeah. She knows what's up. Can we talk about her third arm, AKA this mockery?
Yes. Like, let's talk a little about this, that Julia, for anybody who's just following along the podcast, that she loves photography. She loves self-photography. She has a device. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's called a selfie stick.
Because, hey, won't people jealous when look at picture when I stay in America? I thinking like, I stay in America, are you not? Bye-bye.
Really showboating her pictures to her.
This is
her
really
family.
Taunting everybody with her, with all of her selfies with her selfie stick.
I stay in America, are you not? Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think that in a world of the what we were talking about where we're like not really all about the sightseeing, I think she would have been okay with the sightseeing with just Brandon because she gets to get all the photos in. She's very much into the photos. But then the parents don't get this at all.
Yeah. The parents, I love Betty and what's the dad's name?
The dad. just Betty and the dad.
When they have confessional, they crack themselves up. That mom was like, so did you hear about Julia? She has a third arm, you know, the selfie stick. And the dad is like, oh, yeah, good one. They're just I love them alone in confessionals. Just they think they're like dunking on Brandon and Julia.
Yeah, like the dad's laughing at the jokes kind of reminds me of when you're younger and you're trying to get $20 for allowance. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'll laugh at anything you tell me, mom. Like, that's happening. This seems like he's amping up the laughter anytime Betty speaks.
Dad is way into it. I would say this is very annoying. Like, I've been Team Julia most of this time, but Julia wanting to, you know, take pictures for 20 minutes in front of the monument with the selfie stick. And then, okay, now Brandon, now it's photo shoot time. And now you take a bunch of pictures of me. The first time I was like, okay, you know what? I'm with the parents on this. Maybe separate rooms is the right idea. Enough.
That's all it took. You're like, you know what? They're speaking some sense.
Too many
Betty
pictures.
Makes sense.
Too, like, this is, I'm so bored. Stop with the pictures, Julia. We got it.
I'm not a fan of the selfie stick. But that's just because I don't like carrying stuff. So I don't like the idea of having to take more stuff with me.
But it extends. It goes out, Puya. It's retractable.
It does go out. Gives a full view. But also I'm like, you can get the full picture with just my hand being held. Yeah. I don't need the extra feet. But then Brandon seemed very much into the photography as much as he was making fun of it. So he was acting like he was a fashion photographer for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was trying to play up that character. Made me like him less also, the fact that he was going to take a million pictures of her. Do we follow the 90 Day Fiancé people on Instagram?
I do not, but I feel like this is a time to go look at, try and find her Instagram and see what she does with her
Julia
photos.
Julia on Instagram, if she's on there, how much is selfie stick pictures?
I'm very keen, so I'm going to search it up. I think this
is her. How
many
pictures of her with selfie stick just being like,
I'm staying in America, are you not? Bye-bye.
You not.
Bye-bye. Oh,
I love that.
Maybe that should be my new sign-off for the podcast. I just am like,
I'm staying in America, are you not? Bye-bye.
All right, so I found her Instagram. She has only 2,000 followers.
Only 2,000?
Yeah, it's starting. It's the starting phases. But okay. Rob, not many photos. It's a lot of like just putting up the promotional 90-day stuff. And then when you scroll down, oh, there we go. There's a couple. Yep, there's a couple photos when you scroll down further.
Maybe it's spoilers. It looks like this is one of the selfie stick photos from. Oh no, this is what looks like one of the pictures that Brandon took.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any selfie stick here on this Instagram feed.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
It might be reserved for like. Showing the family, but then they don't make it to the gram because the gram, it's better to get the photos from. Oh, no, I found one. It's from September of 2019. So that was the first selfie stick photo I found.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it seems like not getting a lot of mileage out of the selfie stick there for
not all that much
for Julia. I will say that I've been team Julia most of the way also. But then I thought she had a very cold take as well when they were out looking at the monuments. That she had a cold take about the physique of some of our fellow people here in America.
Mm. White people run that clip.
Yeah, listen, Julia, when she's asking about why people run but fat, Julia, look, not everybody is blessed. Okay.
Yeah,
take it easy.
You got to look at the before and after photos. You can't just look at the after photo and be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, no, there was a before first. This is the before face. You're looking at the before.
Yeah, she seemed like she had a lot of questions about like, wait, what's with all these people?
Yeah, I feel like one of the big tropes with the foreign part of the couples that come to America, it's usually first the if America's not like the Hollywood they're picturing, like, oh, this is not great. Or it's, oh, there's a lot of overweight people here. Wow. And it's like, yes. I mean, I don't know what you mean by that.
I think Yara had a take about that also.
Yeah. Yara definitely also shared the same sentiment, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Given her opinions on Jovi's new body. Yeah. Which again, Jovi's body does not like we're talking overweight. That is not overweight. Mm-hmm. So I don't Yara, okay. Come on.
Come on, Yara. All right. Anyway, so Brandon and Julia, that they are going to have the moment that Julia's been waiting for, where they're going to go and Julia's going to get burgers with Dad. I don't know if this was staged of like, all right, let's give Brandon a minute to talk to Mom.
See, these are moments. There's moments like this where I feel like this is where production could have like slipped a message, be like, we need to separate you two. Can you figure it out? Because the way that Dad was like, hey, so like, I know you like burgers. Like, I'm going to take my new daughter-in-law for burgers. I was like
where were they getting burgers from? There was no burger in sight.
Yeah, it sounded like it was supposed to be a really good burger too, which then they brought back and ate like on the steps. Like, I thought, why not? You guys seem like a restaurant type of family. I don't know if you're just burgers out of a paper bag on the steps type of family, but hey. This worked for the segue to talk to the mom.
Okay. So Mom wants to know, all right, how did the last night go? And, Julia is not happy about the separate rooms.
At all. And here's the thing. Mom doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mom's like, I expected this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mom is like, well, it seemed like that she understood the respect issue. It's like, actually, no, Mom, she actually did not. She was going to say that we should just move out.
Yeah, no, and then Mom really has him by the short and curlies here, where Mom's like, listen, son, like, we are paying for everything. You have no money. You don't have a place. Yeah. Like, you have to just take the L here. You have to just do what we say.
Okay, Puya, so this is what I want to know. So how much money do they get again from 90 Day? Because I kind of feel like it's like, well, like this, we're on 90 Day Fiance right now, Mom. So we're getting money from this. So yeah, I have no money now, but you're not thinking fourth dimensionally right now.
So it's between $1,000 to $1,500 per episode they end up on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one sum given to the American counterpart because they're the one that can legally receive the money.
Yeah.
Usually. And then it's $2,500 for appearing on the tell all at the end of the season.
Yeah. Okay. So they're making some money. I think they can afford the apartment. How about that?
Right. I feel like ultimately, like, yeah, if you look at it as like 12 episodes, you can rack up close to $15,000. That's not a bad situation for you. Mm-hmm. That at least like pays for the housing, right? So it's possible that, you know, he's like, listen, let me finish the show and then we'll be gone. But no, he has to power through. He has to power through these dangerous waters with Betty on his case and Julia on his case and Brandon's laissez-faire attitude of like, well, it's not going to bother me, so I'm just going to leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because I think mom's like, well, you have to save up to spend for a wedding. So, you know, that's that. Don't forget about that. And I just feel like that he is not that concerned with that.
No, can I be honest? I think that the wedding is for Betty's benefit. I don't think it doesn't. They don't scream like we want a big lavish wedding to me at all. I think they would just love to do the honeymoon and like go somewhere and be alone for like a week, 2 weeks. I feel like they'd rather spend money on that than a whole wedding.
Yeah, I think so. That he does not seem super concerned about it. She doesn't seem super concerned about it. Like, I feel like that unlike some of the other women that show up in these episodes where Julia does not seem particularly concerned with any of the physical trappings. You haven't heard her say once like, oh, this isn't as nice as I thought it was going to be. Or she did seem a little surprised when he's like, oh, now he say he and no has money. Well, she seemed a little surprised about that. But overall, she's just like, look, like, I don't care what we like. I don't care if we live in, you know, a crappy, you know, studio apartment, as long as it's just us and not with your parents.
And I think that's what we're getting a lot of, is that it sounds like she's willing to just let a lot of things go, Rob. Ultimately, that's all she wants, is the divorce between Brandon and the family. And for her to be the number one priority, not the family be the number one priority, because she's saying, I'm making him my number one. He has to make me his number one. And to her, the only way to do that is the separation. I will say, based on the next time on, it looks like the disapproving, oh, I don't like this, Julia, will come out a little bit once we get our hands dirty with the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says to her at the end of one of the conversations that, like, well, you know, we're going to really put you to work at the stable or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He does say that. He tells her about, yeah, it's going to get a lot worse. And as long as Brandon cannot get this stuff sorted with mom, it's not going to go anywhere. But it sounds like he's kind of like dug himself this hole. And he's also not told her about the money problem. He's not told her about, like, it's a lot of him not telling her stuff. And I don't know how much more she's going to be able to stomach.
So he does score a minor victory with Julia when he tells mom, hey, we have our own dinner plans. And mom is stunned. She can't believe this. Like, what? What do you mean? Like, yeah, we have our own plans for dinner. We are not going to 9 more monuments today.
I did not realize he had it in him to put his foot down like that.
Yeah, this seemed like out of nowhere.
Yeah, this was very much like and when he was like, we made reservations, I was like, to where? Like, where are you making reservations?
He had no reservation, Puya. He just called it audible.
It was very obvious based on where they went to him, like, this doesn't look like a reservation type place. It looks like a regular bar and grill that you're at. So it was a smart move, but also I wouldn't be surprised if a producer was like, you know, you can just lie and say you have reservation, right? He's like, oh, I never thought of that, producer. Yeah. I'll do that. So.
So will this backfire? Will this, like, will the car ride home be extra sort of like a mom and dad throwing grenades?
We've seen it happen before. They let him have his little victory now, and that invoice is going to be bigger, and it's going to be with interest.
Yeah.
Watch the car ride back home be, hey, so I've got my OBGYN on the phone. Julia, talk to him right now. Talk to him right now, right in this moment.
Yeah. Like, she just needs to know the date of your last cycle, if you could just let me know that. Okay. All right. And then also, like, you said you had a boyfriend that you lived with. Could I get his information of, I want to run a little bit of background check on him.
Can we get his socials? Can we get his handles? Oh, yeah. I would like that.
Also, we're very concerned about, are you familiar with, STIs, Julia? We'd like to have you just take a quick test if that's, you know, that's customary here in America.
So I have this list. I'm going to read these out to you, and you say yes or no, I've had them, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have any of these symptoms? Itchy, lumpy. I'm sorry. Those are my notes from the Chewbacca holiday special.
Well done.
Yeah. So just to go back to Brandon, you talked a lot about future Brandon problems. That's the way Brandon looks at the universe. I feel like he could have handled this situation with mom and dad a little bit better instead of just dropping the grenade. I think that when he had the one-on-one with mom, I think he could have let her know that this was coming.
I think so, too. I think that with Brandon, there's a lot of very obvious, like, no thought in the actions. It's either put a pin in it and move on, future Brandon problem, or I'm just going to go head first into this conversation and hope for the best. Like, that's not great. Mm-hmm. I do feel like he doesn't realize that he probably has more power than he thinks he has. I think if he starts putting his foot down, these are parents that have had one son, right? They've been living with him for so long. They are as, you know, much attached to him as he is to them. And I don't think he realizes that. He can flip the script on Betty. What's Betty going to do? Be disapproving? If he doesn't care, she's lost that power. But Brandon's a dummy. He's not going to realize this. So there's no quick solution with Brandon unless Brandon has a quick smack to the head from Julia.
Yeah. So they go to dinner and then she's saying, like, look, you need to talk to your parents. He's like, well, my mom's not going to change. He's like, well, then we need to leave because she's been through this before. And Julia tells us in confessional about how, you know, that this has happened to her before. She has lived with boyfriend and that boyfriend's parents always think a boyfriend is, walks on water, is a great guy, and always thinks that, she is bad girl. And this has happened before. She knows this story, that everybody's parents thinks their kids are innocent, and it's this woman is corrupting them.
Yeah, I feel like she's definitely, given her profession as well, I feel like it's very easy to pin the villain tag on the go-go dancer who's living with your son.
Listen, Betty, just because she dances go-go doesn't mean that she's a hoe. No, all right?
That's right, Betty. Put that in your little list when you're going to ask stuff in the car later, okay? Okay. Yeah, I feel like I really enjoy Julia. I love that she's going to put her foot down. I look forward to the civil war that is going to be Julia versus Betty. Because let's be real, Rob. Brandon's not going to do anything about this.
No.
It's going to have to be her that does it.
Yeah. And she can keep putting him up to it. But I just think that it's just like she's trying to, I'm trying to think of the right metaphor here, but he's putty. It's not ever going to work where she's like, all right, we'll put you out there. And then he's just going to collapse.
Yeah. I mean, he's 100% that type of guy to be like, well, just by quickly thinking about it for 3 seconds, I'm not going to get the outcome I want. Therefore, it's not going to work. Therefore, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
There's no trying with this guy at all. So I think Julia is going to have to become the mean, like, daughter-in-law that she knows she inevitably is going to have to be because she already is going to be seen as that regardless because Brandon's got no spine. More entertainment for us, obviously. But I'm Team Julia. I'm Team Julia unless we're at Monuments. Then I'm not Team Julia. Everywhere else, I'm Team Julia.
Yeah. There's another great moment when Julia is talking about what it's like for Brandon with his mom. And that I like any time where Brandon is just completely read by either Julia or his parents. I don't mind either way. This was Julia, I felt like, very mocking about the relationship with Brandon and his mom.
Maybe mother don't understand this because you're baby now. I think she's soon like say, Brandon, come here and you need sleep.
Yeah, you baby now, Brandon.
You baby now. Brandon getting roasted is definitely the best part of the Brandon Julia storyline by far. I don't care what direction he gets hit from. It's phenomenal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like all buried in truth. There's no lies detected in any of these roasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if this was me. And, if look, full disclosure, I have had a few conversations with my lovely wife about that, things that my mom has may or may not have said or have been interpreted in a certain way, which may or may not have been meant. That if she said to like, you baby now, I would be like, no, not baby.
Yeah, I get mocked. I get mocked by my partner for being a mama's boy. And I, even though I kind of know, sometimes I get defensive. I'm like, no, that's not exactly what it is. Like, you're really like making it seem like I'm an infant, and I don't appreciate
that. I don't think this is uncommon. Yeah. I think that this is a frequent discussion. I've watched Everybody Loves Raymond. Okay.
I've seen the tapes. I know what's up.
Seen this trope before, but yeah, Brandon, there's no very little pushback, I feel like, from Brandon.
He knows, right? Like, that's the thing. I think with his mom pushing him. He's been new. He knows he's nothing. He knows he can't do anything. He's like, oh, I'm powerless against all of this. I can't rise up. I can't. You were right, but I don't have a solution. It's like, Brandon, just gather the stones and go for it. Like, that's all you can really do. And I don't think he's doing that.
That's all you can do. All right. Yeah. Wait, anything else you want to say about Brandon and Julia this week?
Not this week. I think we covered everything. I'm excited to see where they go next. They're going to the farm. I can't wait to see what kind of shenanigans pop off there, because we knew she wasn't going to be into that life, and the rude awakening is coming, because it's very clear that I don't think she was even given a virtual tour of what to expect. So it's a lot.
Why does Julia need to work on the farm again?
To earn her keep. I don't understand this family. Like, she's being
harassed by a pig, and she's like being chased around. She's like,
I don't get it. Cause like, it's not like the work is gonna, like her moving in is gonna cause more work at the farm. The farm is the same.
Yeah.
If you want her to help around inside the house, I get it. Cause like, you know, I'm contributing to the mess. I'll alleviate some of the mess. But to make her go work at the farm when she's a city body just seems mean. Like, I don't think she needs to do this.
I almost feel like it would be more work to have her screw things up on the farm than it would be to actually, like, what are you gaining from her?
Right. It's like, oh, she's outside doing something for 2 hours, and then you have to send Brandon to go do it for 2 hours and fix it anyway. So what's the point here? Mm-hmm. There is no point here. I think ultimately, because their idea is Brandon's going to inherit the farm and run the business, that he needs Julia to also be able to run the business, because the two of them are going to do it. So
maybe
that's probably the mentality. Yeah, but like y'all are making fun of her with her selfie stick. You know she's not built for this. You know she's not going to want to do this. So I don't know what confidence you're coming into this farm with that attitude. But
yeah,
hey, more hot mess for us. So Puya, I'm co-signing.
Puya, have you been frequenting the 90 Day Fiancé subreddit?
I do peek. I do see. I'm there for the memes, Rob. I do love the 90 Day Fiancé memes.
They're so good.
They're great.
They're so good.
It's one of the best subreddits out there, honestly. Yeah.
There's a great one on there right now of somebody on Twitter. This is at BubblyPam520 has one of what you ordered versus what you got. And on the left is Jon Snow. And in the right is Andrew in his nursery school costume.
Yeah, that's very good. I did see
that. That's a good one. Also, then there's one with, I guess that Dean showed up on Pillow Talk of they have Tariq. I haven't talked to Dean in years. Also Tariq. And it's the shot of Dean and Tariq on the bed on Pillow Talk.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes. Here's the thing with some of the 90 Day stuff. The timelines are off. They're still going to come collect the bag. They got to make their money somehow. So that's going to happen.
Yeah. And then there is a People magazine cover of the best and worst dressed. And they've photoshopped Uncle Bo on there.
We didn't give enough talk about Uncle Bo, Rob. Like, he's got the he's got like the thing Enzo wore on his head in the Big Brother house, where like the bald spot was still premiering. It's like a halfway between a beanie and a bandana almost. The American shirt. And then when he came in, he's wearing a coat, but like a vest over the coat. Uncle Bo was doing the most. And then, of course, he let out his luxurious mullet locks that he had to see. Yeah.
And a great mustache.
Great, big handlebar mustache.
Great mustache
from Uncle Bo.
To boot.
Yes.
Uncle Bo, the stylish man ever.
Stylish man ever, Uncle Bo. Okay. All right, Puya. What's next for you?
So I will be, you know, continuing my journey of streaming. That'll be happening 3 times a week over on twitch.tv/Puyaism, as well as Masked Dancer.
Yes. What are you listing this week?
This week, I'm going to be talking sitcoms. We're going to be doing about 20 to 25 sitcoms, trying to figure out which ones are the best, which ones are in the bin.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very exciting. And then what else is going on?
So yeah, Masked Dancer will be coming at some point, Rob. It's not this week. I believe it's next week. Me and Liana will be back to cover, at the very least, the premiere of The Masked Dancer. It's sure to be confusing and interesting at the same time, so you can check that out on the reality TV.
Any, like, rumored names in The Masked Dancer?
Not that I've been peeking, so I'm not sure. We did get one of those. They usually, at the beginning of a season, they'll tell us, like, oh, like, this many Grammys are in here, one Olympian. It sounds like there's at least 4 Olympians or 4 gymnasts. I forget which one, which makes sense because they're going to be dancers.
Any chance of Big Ed?
Rob, if Big Ed was a Masked Dancer, if you don't think I'm going to cover this show episode by episode, beat by beat, you got another thing coming.
Yeah, he would be easy to see spot, Big Ed, I think.
I don't think it would be hard. I don't think it'll be hard. And also, it sounds like, Rob, if looking at the Reddit, if we go back to 90 Day Realm for a second, sounds like there's going to be new content available from the TLC world, and it's going to be behind a paywall. So that is a thing.
Whoa.
I found out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, so, that, we didn't get to it today, but I would like to go through the entire TLC schedule and talk about if that's something people want to hear. I would like to go through the whole TLC lineup and try to figure out whether or not I would like all of the rest of TLC programming.
I think that's a phenomenal idea. I think that, you know, on Renap, you did say you did cover TLC shows are trash,
no, just
with a focus
one,
on 90 Day.
Yeah.
This would be literally going toe to toe, watching all their other, looking at the other side and be like, hey,
I would just look on the website. Let's not get too carried away.
Yeah, no. We're not going to watch them all. We have lives. We love ourselves. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear whether or not you would actually consider watching Dr. Pimple Popper.
No, I would not. I would not.
No, big same.
Yeah. There's like that creepy, like, blonde family also. Like, I don't really understand what's going on there with that. I don't understand anything on TLC.
It's hard to understand stuff on TLC, so I don't blame you for that.
Okay. Puya, what else? Anything?
Anything else? I feel like, is anything evading me? I mean, I did make a small appearance on the mailbag of Renap this past week, which definitely check it out. Stay for the holiday spectacular.
Yeah, I had so much fun holiday spectacular. Covering the Star Wars holiday special with Liana and Akiva over the weekend. That was great fun. There's video for us talking about the Star Wars holiday special, which was great. We also talked to the most recent Amazing Race winners, in case you are if you have not been new. I won't say what their names are, but they joined us for the Tar Pit this week, so check that out, as well as another great dynamic duo, Cindy and Mindy Hall. Deck the Halls with Cindy and Mindy, as we heard about, that if you think that Andrew and Amira are off to have an adventure, wait till you hear about what Cindy Hall went through on her trip to California some time ago. It is wild, and it is 2 hours that you are not ready for.
I'm very excited.
Talking with
there's T-Bird. A lot of good content there.
Yes. Plus,
a lot of good stuff.
Taryn is going to be back live after, or to recap Sequester, episode number 4 on Monday night as well. And much more coming on Rob Has a Podcast. So make sure you subscribe to our main feed and to our 90 Day Fiancé feed at robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiancé. We appreciate your feedback and your star ratings here at the start of the season. Okay. All right. Puya, next week, should we tease what's coming up next week?
Yeah, we can quickly talk it over. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right. Next week, looks like it's going to be a great episode, but we have an even better guest.
That's right. We've got, who do we have? Oh, that's right. We have the person who fact checks me, the person who's ready to come here and tell me that I'm doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
It's my better half, or at least you'll have, you know, it to be the case. Liana Boris will be joining us next
Very
week.
Very exciting. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you don't miss that one. robhaswebsite.com/90dayfiancé. Take care, everybody. And if we don't talk to you before then, have a great holiday. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.